they say. Talk about being Mazik recently. So I wanted to share with you some understanding and guidelines in regard to a Hezek that somehow Ponslan seems to repeat and repeat itself. Fender benders, traffic accidents, other automobile collisions, types of damages. Everyone should be well. Many parking lot kind of situations, backing up into someone else. These things come up all the time. And especially if people want to pay out of pocket and not get insurance involved, and then they want to know what is the responsibility, liability that's involved. So there are halachas on this. And I want to share with you some of the halacha basis for this discussion. To start with, we all know there's a concept to Mishnah and the second paragraph of Bava Kamma, that Adamu L'Gailam, a person is always liable, responsible for damages that he does. Bein Shogi, Bein Mezid, Bein Erev, Bein Yashav, whether he's asleep, whether he's awake, whether he's on purpose or accident, you have to take caution to make sure that you don't cause damage to someone else, and there's almost no excuses at all. Even so, there is a concept of an Einus Gomer, that there's a point at which even an Adam is not going to be responsible for a Hezek. It was something that's completely out of his control. One example that the Rambam Shulchan Aruch give over here, which is what I gave you basically, is a straight Shulchan Aruch Shinayin Ches. In Sif Gimel, it says, Hoya Ola Basulam, it was climbing a ladder. With Nishbata Shliva Mitachtov, one of the rungs gave way and cracked, and because of that, Benafla Vizika. And either the rung then shot out and went down and damaged something, or means that when it fell out, then the man fell down and landed on something. If it wasn't firmly attached to the ladder, it was loose, and as he put his foot onto it, he could have already seen, hey, this is a loose rung, I better be careful, and he didn't, then he's chayev. But if it was firmly in place, and it seemed all visible ways to tell that it was a solid rung, but let's say it was rotten from within, you couldn't even see. But when the weight of the person, then it just cracked, and the head couldn't carry the weight. That's the words of the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. This is something that happened in Shemayim. It's not his fault at all. So there's a point in which we absolve a person from fault and say that it's not his fault at all. It says in the Gemara of the Mishnah that if you chayev both on a ruach mitzuyah and a ruach she'ena mitzuyah. Gemara of Zayin on base, I think, says even ruach she'ena mitzuyah. A ruach she'ena mitzuyah, a shemer chinam has to lock up a animal that he's watching strongly enough that it won't be able to get out, and a ruach mitzuyah, a common wind, won't be able to knock it down. A shemer sach is responsible even for ruach she'ena mitzuyah. So see, a ruach she'ena mitzuyah is also something that's within the rules of shmirah, at least for shemer sach. And a adam amur li'olam is going to be at least on that level too. But the tour of the Bach, the Poskim explained over here in Shinayin Ches. But there's something that goes beyond that. If you have a hurricane wind, you have a tornado, which picks up a person up and throws him against his will, and it smashes him against, I don't know, with some of his property, lands on top of someone, the hood of someone's car, and whatever. That is not a Ruach She'ena Mitzuyah. That's a Ruach Sa'ara, an unusual storm wind, that there's nothing a person could do at that point at all. One thing to do is probably don't be outside. But sometimes the whole house goes up. Whatever. If it be a circumstance that's beyond any kind of control, then Adam would not apply. So therefore, let's say a person is driving, and he has total brake failure. His car or his vehicle, whatever he's driving, the brakes just go out. And because of that, he can't stop it. It's just going to go right on to whatever it's going to hit. He can't do anything about it. Tries an emergency brake, it doesn't work either. Whatever this, it says something like that, there's nothing he could do. Now, if there's some warning signs beforehand, the light was on or was making noises, or he should have checked it out beforehand, and he ignored those warning signs, then he's poshaya. He's at fault for that. But if it's totally unexpected, and the mechanic, when he gets it, like, I can't explain why this happened. So the Rambam explains why it happened. Zumaka minashamayimi. It's a minashamayim that Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that it's going to happen to him to this day. Or it's going to happen to the other guard that got hit. The Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that. It's minashamayim. That's beyond his control. There's nothing he can do at that point, and therefore he'll be potter. Besides Adamuli Eilam, going on a person's own physical damage that he takes and hits and breaks and smashes, damages someone else's property, the same would be that if he would use a tool, if you have a club, let's say, and smash property with that, he'd certainly be chayav on that. And not only that, if he takes any item and he throws it, and he shoots, and he throws a baseball and goes through someone's window, or hits the baseball with his bat, then it goes through someone's window. This is also applies in Mechol Yom. Every summer it comes up again. Especially when the kids are playing baseball outside in between houses. So that's a din of Kayach HaKagufay. That a person's Kayach, he's Chayach for, like he did it with his own body. The Gemara never brings, to the best of my knowledge, Manoah HaNemili, a Makor, where do we know that from? It really needs a Makor, because it's, you're telling me, a Halacha. The Torah holds your Chayach. Who says Kayach HaKagufay? By Tzroros, you know, by an animal, is it Chatzinezik on his Kayachay? But an Adam is Chayach, what even Kayach HaKagufay? The emes is that it's Psukim in the Torah, in Parshas Masai, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Torah says that a person is going to be chayav to go to Ari Miklat, or to Bishogeg, or Bemezis, or Otseach, who's chayav Bisa. And the pasuk over there describes that in Be'eva he called B'yado, so that's with his hand directly, or in Be'kli Barzel he called B'yamos, Rotseachu, in Be'evin, or Be'kli Eitz, Yad, Asher Yomos Bo, if he used a blunt instrument and beat Rachman Slan, someone else to with that, Roseachu. Vim Basini at Afeno, if he purposely took him, he pushed him off the cliff. Oh, Hishla Chalab Batsdia, or he threw something against him, aiming it. So he took now, a knife, and he threw it at him. And because of that, he damaged or Rachman Slan killed the other person. So the Torah says, Roseachu, Bos Yomos, Roseach. That's a case of Kayach HaKagufay, where it wasn't directly in his hands. It was something, a projectile that he threw with his Kayach. His Kayach is, because that's the muscle power that took him and he threw it. So it's his Kayach that's now projecting and propelling that item to its destination. And the damage that it does because of that, when the ball goes through that window, that is the din of Kayach HaKagufay. Kayach HaGufay is expanded beyond that, even when it's not directly my physical muscle strength power that's propelling it. But likewise, if I live on the 10th story of a building, and I take an item, and I just let go of it outside the window. I didn't throw it down, I just let go. I drop it. It goes all the way down and smashes whatever is down there below. I didn't throw it down there. Isaac Newton brought it down. Right? Gravity brought it down. So, the one that created the world brought it down. So what do you want from me? But that the lacha that holds a person responsible for harnessing the forces of nature and making them do the thing at his will, that's doing it. That's him doing it. The Gemara says, by a case of Zorov Ruach Masayasai, if a person takes something and throws it into the wind, chaff, let's say, when he's winnowing, and the wind blows it away, then he's Bayer on Shabbos. If he takes that and does it in a way that it's going to go and blow onto someone's field and ruin his planting field that is guarded over there, that's being mazik. So when you're using the powers of nature, that's your bimazik it. The truth is, when you throw something, it'll never reach its destination without gravity. Because you always throw up, and it goes on an arc, and it comes down to hit the... Now that's only gravity. Otherwise, it should keep on going up all over in outer space. It's only when the forward and upward motion is overcome as it gets weaker by gravity, that it comes down and arcs downwards and hits the destination. So every throw, when the Torah says Hishal Chalav, you can never throw something a mamash, literally a line drive, a straight line. It's always an up and a down. And that's always there for you, harnessing gravity to get it to land the place that you want it to land. And that a person's chayav for also. So that's all true by a literal case when I took something and I propelled it and I threw it, or I threw it up, and because of that it comes down and hit something, So when I throw it up and it reaches its apex and it turns around, that's like I took it up there and I let go of it. It comes down. I'm putting it in that position that the gravity is not going to bring it down. So that's my bimazikit. Now, this a reckless driver is driving his car down the street, and he goes and he smashes into a car. Right. So he says, "What? I threw the car? I can't move the car. It weighs 2 tons, and I'm not that strong." So where's the kaicha over here? What kind of mazik is this over here? It's a shore. We have to talk about whether it's a bore. What are we going to talk about exactly? So there's two things to think about. Number one is that the Torah brings down a tshuva harush, which the sma over here brings down on the side of this stiv and shudai and ches, even though I didn't give you most of the smas. About in the old days, until about 100 years ago, the world didn't have cars. They had horses. And so one person is riding his horse. People rode horses in the streets. That was the mode of transportation. And one person is coming galloping down, at super speed, and there's someone else going ahead to that normal trot. And the galloper smashes into the back of the trotter, and injures that horse. Cracks his legs, throws him down, breaks it, whatever it does. So the rush says you're gonna be high with that. So the person who asked the shah says, "Wait a second, the regel versus rabim is butter." So he's walking along, and it's a mazik of regel, shoshem for regel. We know it's butter shus rabim, only karen's chayv kazinasek. So he wants to say that he should be chayv, he should butter because it's regel. So the rush says, "This isn't regel. When your animal goes on your own and it steps on something, it runs into something, that's regel. But when you're riding on it, it's gufo, it's adama mazik of a gufay." When you're riding on that horse, then that horse is your vehicle. It's like your tool that's in your hand. It's like your club that you're hitting with, and that's considered to be mazav begufay. There you chayv in rishus rabim. So same thing when you're driving a car. The car is only a tool in your hands. You drive it. You accelerate it. You direct it. You steer it. And therefore, that's just only a tool in your hands. And when you take that and you drive it recklessly and you smash into something, that's your own doing. It's like I was standing, which is right, with my eyes closed and take a beam and swing it around like that. Oh, it hit something, right? You hit it something. With your kelet, your own hands, is how you're bimazing it. Excuse me?
Isn't
it
mishana?
You'd
be chayim anyway because
you're mishana. Yeah, but mishana, it's a question who's going to be liable of two different parties, which we're going to be talking about over here. But I can say I wasn't mazik it, somebody else was mazik it. So what I'm saying over here, that's considered to be adam mazik himself. Number one, someone that just acted abnormally. We're going to get to that very soon.
In the case where you hit the horse, but you're off the horse, and the horse goes because you hit it.
Right. So then that won't be adam mazik. Mashasa Sakelov, get him, boy. And I stick my pit bull on that fellow over there that I don't like too much. That is Din of Shane or Karen, whatever it might be, but it won't be Adam Mazik. Second thing over here is that there's one of the Ovis and Zikin, of course, is Aish. When you let a fire go and it burns down and it goes and travels and destroys whatever is in its path, so the Gemara says that Aish Mishum Chitzav, it's like shooting an arrow. That's releasing that energy, in this case, destructive energy, that could consume and destroy everything that is in its path. It's like you're shooting an arrow at that. Ad kadei kach, the Gemara says, if that fire now goes and spreads, and Rachman Salon burns someone and kills him, you're a rotzeach. It's not just simply a hezek, but that's considered to be a maisa of the Adam himself. That's considered to be that you're doing it yourself. Now, every time you accelerate the car, what you're doing is that you're adding fuel to a fire, right, with the gas going in with the, right. So with the system, how it makes a little fire and a spark valves inside the chambers, and with that, that fire is the power that propels the car forward and makes the axle go around and the wheels go around, and that's how the car goes down the street. So it's the kayak of Aish that you're using as you accelerate. If you don't accelerate, or if you don't put it into park and then push the gas, it's not going to go on its own. So that is a din of Aish, and that's considered to be Adam Mazik, and therefore you're going to be chayav on Hazekim that happened in the Rishus Rabim, or wherever it is, as the person drives his car recklessly. The world was recently shocked and terrorized by a terrible incident that happened in the Boston Marathon. Now, without trying to rationalize or justify crazy people, but let's halakhically examine, like, who do they hurt? I didn't hurt anything. That knapsack hurt them. What did I do? I went over there and I killed someone or injured someone, 200 people, whatever it might be. But I didn't do it. That knapsack blew up. You know, I'm a grumma, okay? Grumma's part of the auto, so what do you want from me? Right? Teretz is, there's a din of Aish. That was releasing Aish in all of its power. And that manifests that all the things that it did blew up and shrapnel and all the damage and lethal power was the power of Aish. And likewise, every terrorist that puts out a bomb or the such a thing, it's all a din of Aish. So,
a gun also?
A gun, right. Good. A person shoots with a gun. So, but Pasuk, when it says, Hishlecha Lav is taking when I threw something at someone else. Over here, it's not my power, I'm just pulling the trigger. I pull it this way, why is it going that way? There's this, because when I pull the trigger, I release the hammer and it ignites the gunpowder, and psh, I have an explosion, and then this thing is propelled forward. It's the Kayach of Aish.
It's not because of Aish, it's like an arrow would also be
Aish? No, that would be Kayach of Gagufo. That's Kayach of Gagufo. That's my throwing it. I'm pulling it back on the string of the bow, right? That's putting all the power into it. The bow doesn't have any power by itself. It's all my power when I take it and pull it back. When I release it, it's the power that I put into it. That's my own power. The same thing as slingshot, that's my power. Right? If it's over here, it's Aish.
But also, it's possible that one person should wind it up and put the power into it, and another person picks it up and shoots it.
Right. That's when there's power already there to be released, like there's gravity already there to pull something down. When I now put something into the motion with the power that existed, I'm now harnessing that. Although someone else wound it up, right? I'm now releasing that, and therefore that's Kayach HaGagufa. Okay, background. One other piece of information that is important to know is that there's such a thing as rules of the road, right? That's made by the Department of Transportation, whatever the rules of whoever is in charge of these things. But they make the rules of the road, the rights of way, who goes first and who has to yield, and the red lights, green lights, and all the other rules of who turns left and who goes in front of someone else, as well as proper methods of operating a moving vehicle, including safe speeds of operation and distance between vehicles, in order to be able to establish safety. Now, there could be a concept of dina mechuza dina, which would give them the power for that which is for the Tekanas B'nai and Medina, that which is for the betterment of the society, that they would have to have some kind of method to the madness, otherwise everyone's going to be just doing whatever they want to do and we're going to have chaos. So that which is the Tevas B'nai and Medina, that which is for the social benefit, then the Dina Mechuzadina has power. But even without coming on to Dina Mechuzadina, as a chuvas, because I'm safer, Chayshim Mishpat Sim Mem Dalet about this, that in those things that they set up for common ways of safe operation or carrying on business commerce, that there is a Gemara says about Basra and Daf Chesar Tes, something like that in the first parak, that Rishonim Bnei Ha'ir La'Siyal Kitzasan, that we can make rules of commerce within ourselves, and everyone has to abide by it within a certain. Ways of doing business. So likewise, we have a business called driving cars, and there has to be some kind of system to it. Everyone can't go first, so we have to have a system. This lane goes first, and that lane goes first, and this direction goes, and take turns, the green lights, red lights, tell us how to do it, etc. And therefore, that sets up a system that we have to respect and go according to that. Likewise, if there's a place that you're not supposed to drive or that you're not supposed to park. Then I have a right to assume that people are going to be following those rules. And therefore, I don't have to expect someone that's driving over there as someone that unexpectedly is driving over there and caught me unaware, and because that causes an accident with someone that was operating properly, the one that was operating improperly is therefore the one that's at fault. We're getting ahead of ourselves right now into the areas of fault, which is what we have to talk about right now. Those are just matters of introduction. Now, what we have over here, and I have to apologize, I printed up Chinai and Ches entirety, but I didn't print up the next sif, the beginning of Chinai and Tes, which is important for this discussion. The point that is made in Shin Ayin Ches Sif Zion Ches and Shin Ayin Tes Sif Aleph is that a critical factor is a matter of who's operating or conducting himself brishus properly and who's not. For instance, one of the considerations over here is that there's a safe speed of operation. We talked before in the galloping horse or the trotter. So out of the open field, you're welcome to gallop as fast as you know how to handle a horse. But on a public street, you trot along, but you don't gallop. It's not cowboys and Indians. So that's dangerous speed to handle. So likewise on the highway, it's at 65 miles an hour. That means you're allowed to go up to 75. But going 85 or 95 is unsafe. Well, I know how to do it. That's great. Until Chas v'Shalom, we don't want to say what happens next. Up to 75 is the flow of traffic. If you go 65, you're going below the common traffic. But going with the flow of traffic, that's the norm. Going zoom, 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 you know, zigzagging and weaving in between is not what everyone else is doing. And that's what's not allowed or not expected because it's not going to be safe. That's shelo b'rishus. So hoyishneim b'rishus or shneim shelo b'rishus. If we're both equally operating properly or both equally operating improperly. And the Sma says over here, which I printed in the bottom of Sif Zion, I added the Sma, says halicha shneim b'rishus rabbi mikri b'rishus. Both of us are entitled to go in b'rishus rabbi. That's what the streets are made for. V'ritzasam, but that's only with halicha, when we're walking at a normal pace. Ritzasam, running at an abnormal pace, like in a sidewalk in the middle of a downtown district, everyone's walking to go. But no, someone's coming over there and running full speed. He's going to crash into people. So likewise, with the horse galloping or with your car going 85 miles an hour. Ritzasam shalom mikri shlo brishus. When you're traveling at a abnormal pace, that's considered to be shlo brishus. The havale lasugi adaite. Why is it shlo brishus? Because you should be responsibly aware that Shema Yifkabo Chavera, maybe you'll suddenly come up to meet another person coming out of a store from the opposite direction on the street from wherever it might be, switching lanes. At that point, it'll be too late to just slam on those brakes and stop. You can't go from 60 to 0 as quickly as they advertise if you go from 0 to 60. So you might at that point say, well, no, it's close up Shiva, so bonus is chayav. Right? That is exactly is your fault. So if shneim are b'rishus or shneim shlo b'rishus, if we're both operating equally like that, so then if either one is mazid, the other one he'll be chayav. Well, what it says over here is, if either one was not aware of the other one's presence, then they'll both be potter. If I saw you that they were there, then I should have taken care to avoid you and not just switch lanes without checking that you're not there. So then I'd be chayiv. If shneim hiziku zeh, if they both collided, if they both banged each other, so then it says over here they're both chayiv. And that's the whole issue of the discussion. In Shinai and Tes Aleph, it says if they were both going at the same normal pace and they broke and they bumped each other, then they're both putter. They're both operating within the normal limits. They're both doing properly. So this is a major discussion in the postcom, how to reconcile these two different statements in Shinayin Ches Sif Zion and Shinayin Tes, the next Sif, and Sif Aleph. One basic approach that the postcom use according to the Shulchan Aruch, that if you have two moving vehicles that hit each other and both contribute, therefore, to this collision, then if they were both equally operating properly or both equally operating improperly, and we both contributed equally to the joint collision, then both will be putter. If one is one comes and side hits the other one, so it's just one hitting the other one, but the first one, the hittee didn't hit her. It didn't hit the other one, right? So just one can't come and hit the side of the other one. Then just the one that did that hazard would be chayiv. Now, a case that this is very common, it comes up, I'm telling you, Kaseder, is parking lots. You have a big parking lot, right? I don't know if they come inside the store and start yelling at you, or they come to Rebez and they yell at me. But either way, big people in the back of the Aguda. Anytime you have a tight kind of a parking lot. So he's backing up this way, she's backing up this way. I didn't see you, you didn't see me. And so we were not aware of either one. We both have rights to park over here. And in a parking lot situation, no one's speeding. Top speed over there is 5 miles an hour. No one goes down 15, 20 miles an hour in parking lots. So you're not dealing with speeding situations, and we're both brishos. We both have right to park there, and we both, usually the case is, we weren't aware. And there's two ways that it usually happens. Either both people are backing up from other sides. I was parked here, they're parked there, we both bang like that. Or, as I'm pulling out, the car that's coming this way didn't see me coming out, and I didn't see them coming out, and therefore we collide that way.
I think the law is, though, that the person going in the parking lot, not the one pulling out, has the right of way.
Right. Anyway, you're in a lane, and I want to enter into your lane, then the one that's already there has the first right of way. Shnehem Bereshus. So therefore, it's really incumbent on the back or upper to turn around and take a good peek around what's happening before they start backing up. Excuse me?
But if they're both backing up.
Right. When they're both backing up, you don't have that. What sometimes happens is the parking lot's so full, by Milchasna, let's say, or whatever, you know, whatever the place is, and then someone decides to park where they shouldn't be parking, no parking, or halfway on the sidewalk, or squeezing into a place that there's not a parking place. And then that same kind of thing later on happens, especially at night when it's dark, you can't see, and it wasn't lit properly. So then that's Echad Brishos for Echad Shlom Brishos. The one that's parked where there's not supposed to be parking has no Rishos to be there, and therefore the other person that did properly didn't have to anticipate that someone's in the no parking place. And therefore, I backed up, I didn't see it. If I know you're there, I can't go and smash you. But that's not what happens. No one does any intentional damage over here. It's always unintentional because I wasn't aware you're there. So I didn't have to be aware you're there, but you had to be aware that I was there, right? So therefore, the guy that was shlo b'shus will be liable, or the person that was there b'shus will be putter. And that's on either damage that whoever suffered the damage.
I'm going to point out that there is shloi b'shus, but the guy that was there b'shus didn't know that is a shloi b'shus. For example, the parking said saved for the rav, but he didn't even know that it was saved for the rav.
Or he thought it was the rav.
Whatever, you know. So he didn't know.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's shloi b'shus. Shloi b'shus is when there shouldn't be any car here at all, and therefore the other person didn't have to anticipate that there's any car there. But when it says reserve parking for whatever, but there could be a car there. Maybe whoever is supposed to reserve for the president is supposed to be parking over there. It can be a car there, and therefore when you park out, pull out from the other side, you have to make sure there's no car over here. When there's a no parking place, could be also when there's a fire lane, where that's also automatically a no parking place, then I don't have to think that there's a car there. And if you're standing over there, waiting for your wife to come out of the store, right? You have to be aware that, you know, people are going to be moving backwards and forwards, and you have to be the one to get out of the way because you're not really supposed to be here to start with. Right? So determining who's brishus and who's shlo brishus, which is either a matter of the rules of the road made by the MVA or the rules of the parking lot made by the owner. And I could put my own signs in my theater that this place over here would make whatever rules on my own parking, on my own property. But once you have those rules posted and very clear, big yellow lines over here, no parking or sign, whatever, when it's very obvious, so then everyone else has a right to assume that that's the way things are being done and to conduct themselves accordingly. The one that broke those rules is the one that's going to be chayv. This is usually the case behind most accident, collisions. People call it an accident, not an accident, it's a Mashiach. It's just trying to give an excuse. But you really, it's a collision. Most such car incident damages is that someone broke the rule. Someone didn't give the right of way. Someone went through a stop sign. Someone was speeding. Someone was doing something wrong. It's almost always is what contributes to it. If everyone is acting the way they're supposed to, unless you have something very unusual, all of a sudden a deer or a kid or a bicycle came out and I had to slam on my brakes, and you know, you could have circumstances. But usually it's because someone didn't do what they're supposed to. Those kind of cases, by the way, when the car in front had to slam on their brakes, the car behind them comes and rear ends him and drives right into him. The guy behind is responsible. That's a Mishnah in Hamaniach, in the third paragraph of Bava Kamma, where it says, Zeh Bava Chavisai, Zeh Bava Kairai. If one person is carrying a breakable item, a earthenware a barrel, cistern, and another person is carrying a beam, and the guy in front all of a sudden stops, then the guy behind shouldn't go and smash into him, because you should be looking out for someone ahead of yourself and not smash into him.
That's only love push when he's expected. I think when he stops unexpectedly, doesn't have a right to, then the one
right,
then
the one in front, unless he gives warning and he says, "I'm about to stop. Watch out!"
Right.
Right? So then if he warns him, so the brake lights tell you, "I'm done." So the rules of the road are that you have to give enough distance, which is multiples of the 10 miles an hour that you're going, that you should be able to stop in case the car ahead of you suddenly has to stop. All of a sudden, a construction worker comes out and says, you know, to a guy going the highway, you have to stop. So he has to stop. So if you're 8 car lengths behind him, you'll be able to stop. If you're only 2 car lengths behind him, you're not going to be able to stop. That's a negligence on your part that can contribute afterwards to what follows. Most cases, by examining the situation of what happened, you determine the fault, and the fault then determines who's a reshus and who's shalom reshus, and then the halacha is going to follow according to that. One of the exceptions to the case is the parking lot backing up kind of situation where we both did the same thing, there isn't always there a clear case of a fault, and if they were both moving, they'll both be putter. If one was stationary, the other one was moving, then the moving party will be chayv.
Are there various degrees of fault? Both are at fault, but one is more at fault than the other one?
If they were both brishus or both shalom, if one was brishus and one shalom brishus, that fault. If one was moving, one was not moving, the moving one is at fault. But if they're both keeping the rules or both not keeping the rules, you were going 85, I was going 95, we're both shalom brishus, right? You went through a red light and I only went through a stop sign. It's both shalom reshus. There's not a different level of gravity. Once we're both not operating right, so then if they're both moving contributors, then they're both going to be putter. There is a machlag zaposkim on that, but that's the bottom line. It can't be machai of him. And if one is the mover and the other one is the is just the victim that got hit, then he'll be putter.
Would Beis Din consider Maryland is a contributory negligence state? We consider in Beis Din minhag ha-makom.
In arbitration, we could do according to our own rules, and our rules are going to Chayshim Mishpat. We're going to take out Shinai and Chesed Shinai and Tess and see how it applies to it and make the person chayv a putter going to that.
How does it work? Is equals
Right.
What's the
Torah? But Turim, you understand. We both walk away and everyone has to take care of themselves. Chayavim means we're both going to be liable, and therefore the one with the greater liability is going to have to pay the difference to the one with the lesser liability. So you did $100 damage, you did $200 damage, I'll have to pay you $100.
And value of car. So the guy has a better value of car.
That's not the question. Another question: how do you evaluate damage? Right. So, damaging a late model, expensive car, and smashing its fender off, and doing the same physical damage to a 25-year-old jalopy, right, is a different value damage. This is a $1,000 damage. This is $100 damage. or whatever. Now, there's a number of different factors that are going to go into that, but we're going to have to assess value how much damage was done. Damage is assessed on al regalachas in two methods. One is kama hoyashava, kama hushava, the depreciation, and one is the repair value. And the Shach Paskins in Shin Tzadi Gimel. The Shach Paskins that something that's made to be repaired, you have to pay repair damage, repair value. And therefore, a late model beautiful car is abistam going to be repaired, and therefore you would have to cause it, pay the repairs of that. A old jalopy that has 25 other bends, and now I put another bend into it, it's not meant to be repaired at all. So I won't have to pay the repair value. I'll have to pay depreciation on that car. Minimal to none.
It means it's basis for the insurance claim of totaling a car. Where the repair would be more than the value of the car.
When the repair is more than the value of the car, then no one would normally repair it. So then you'd shin pay zayin. I'm sorry. There the item is ain evshul l'tak. You know, evshul l'tak mechayv l'mazik l'tak night. Shin pay zayin, and he was mirepin on this earlier in Siman Tzadi Hey. Shach says in two places that something that's made to be fixed. So for instance, you have a $200,000 house, and my kids were playing baseball, and they hit the window. Your house itself doesn't go down in value of almost anything. But since the normal thing is to fix a window, and a window costs $200, let's say, to replace, so I have to replace that, because that's I made to fix. A car that's in good condition and now gets a dent in it, it's I made to fix. It's normal. The norm is to fix it, therefore I have to pay you for that. If it has 10 other bends and now has one more dent in it, it's not going to be fixed. So then there's no repair value, and then you have to know whether there's any depreciation. If it's a greater dent than anything else beforehand, there is. If it's just one more, welcome to the bunch, it doesn't do anything. So when two people were mazik each other, they both contributed at their fault, they'll both be chayiv. Now we're going to have to evaluate the total damage or repair of each one, how much should be owed. The one that did the greater damage will pay the lesser one the difference between the two damages. I'll give you one more interesting case. This is from the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah from Ratzvi Schmitz from Remote. I have left my office, I forgot to bring it over here. But it's a very interesting case. If someone was speeding right through the red light, which he should not have done, and he's coming, hurtling through, he has to get to middle, you know. So as he comes over here, the car that's operating normally, or turning into as he's supposed to, sees this guy coming right at him. So to save his life, he quickly swerves to the side and hits that guy over there that's parked. He'll side swipe up over there and make damage, but at least he'll be alive, right? And everyone gets out of the car and starts yelling afterwards. And I says, you should be responsible for it. He says, I didn't hit anyone. Right, the guy that went through the red light. I'm glad you didn't hit me. Then I would be responsible. But I didn't hit anyone. I'll see you later. And he wants to pull off and go. So, api halacha, what kind of hezek is? I was goyimit, grown beyond. So the Rav Spitz Paskins in his Beis Din that they said he's chayv to pay. I said, Mashal ma'adar adayma. What would be if a guy would stand at the intersection with a gun and he would point it, a rifle at the guy coming on and says, you turn and hit that car over there or I shoot. So I have no choice to save my life. I turned over there and I hit the car with the lane next to me, right? And then I say, who's going to pay for that damage? So I'm being used by you, by the guy with the gun. He's threatening, and I'm assuming that he's not, it's not for him. but it's real, then he is forcing me against my will to go do something, and that will be high of medina de garmi. That will be high of that he was like a din of a meiser, that I'm doing something that's definitely going to result in a hezek to the person. Then that as din of garmi, you're going to be high for that.
Is that the arrest or what?
Major machlag is hapaiskim. A list this long, we show them the one way, and the equal on this side to say the other way. Shachatzim Shimpei Ches assembles a list on both sides, and his opinion, the bottom line is he holds his drabanon. But there's many we show them on both sides of that question about Rama Gurmi.
Does it only be a possibility of death, or
what?
Could it be in avoiding damage? Because a person naturally will try to avoid damage. You're traveling down. This happened to me last week. Somebody started going into my lane. Okay, so I swerved to avoid. Baruch Hashem, no one was in the other lane. Had there been...
But his case over there is when there's a sakana that he's threatening you with a gun. Likewise, the guy speeding into you, he's implicitly saying, you move out of the way or else. Right, and whether he means to it or not, but that's what it's saying. If you don't, if you don't switch lanes fast, you're in grave danger.
That's not called an Einis Gomer.
That would be an Einis Gomer as far as the guy that swerved, that he was forced to do so. Right, it's not really the Einis Gomer situation, because it was by his volition, his choice that he did so, which he was being threatened and forced to do so. The Einis Gomer case is that he never meant it all, so the thing collapsed under him, the ladder, or the hurricane wind, or a tornado lifted him up and dropped him somewhere. That's not my doing at all. But when someone points a gun and makes a person do someone else, to do something to someone else, that's also considered to be not my doings. I was just being used by the one that's forced me to do it. So therefore, we could consider it to be like an Einis Gomer and make that middle guy to be putter. The guy that was threatening him, whether with a gun or whether with a speeding vehicle, is forcing him to that. Now, in a lesser case, when it's not a case of endangerment to life, as these dramatic cases I'm describing, but a lesser case that I was describing of just, I was afraid to get this kind of damage, that I chose that damage, that is not push it, because what I decided at that point, instead of suffering a possible $500 damage for myself, I'd rather inflict a $200 damage on the guy next to me. Right?
Just a reaction also. Sometimes it's just a reaction.
People are not animals. We don't act by instinct. We have to decide. It's a choice that I'm making right now. I'd rather dump and save my expensive one. So there is a different sugya about that. There's a Mishnah about... If I was Zebov Chaviza Shal Yaim, Zebov Chaviza Shal Dvash, and my Dvash, which is more expensive, container cracked, and therefore I now want to empty out your wine to be able to save my Dvash, I'll have to pay for that wine that I was pulling it out. So I decided right now to save my car from a more expensive damage, because it's a better car, because it's going to hit it in a worse kind of way, whatever it might be, and therefore I decided to sideswipe your car. So I'll be liable for that. Now, the fact that the other guy was forcing me, it's not the same case. It's not a force. A force is always with a sakana. That's when you're an anus. Without a sakana, it's a bigger chiddush to say that. I don't know whether we've ever say that.
There's a Bori Bashema in Meridian also. I also had the case. The guy who nearly messed up. I was driving there, I just kind of, she pulls right in front of me, making the left. Now, I don't know if there's someone on my right, but instinctively, I pulled over there. Bori Bashema was over here. This was a Vadai I was going to crash versus a Shema, maybe nobody was there.
Okay, but that's a calculated risk that you're taking.
The guy that was speeding through the light. Let's say he's speeding through the light because his brakes stop. His brakes.
So he's anonymous.
So now everybody's going to be bunker.
Right. Minas Shemai. Things happen in Minas Shemai.
What about usually these things happen too fast and you can't really evaluate? You don't know.
You know how fast your brain works, faster than any computer that will ever be made. Okay?
Yeah, but still.
You have an amazing kind of machine at the top of your head.
But still, you don't think